Welcome to the Breaking Up with Yo-Yo Dieting podcast. I'm your host, Amber McKenzie. I'm an author, speaker, and former yo-yo dieter turned successful weight maintainer, and I get to live in a body I love. Each week, I'll share stories, practical strategies, and have inspiring conversations with guests to help you get and keep the body you dream of. Now let's find out how to break up with yo-yo dieting and fall in love with yourself.
Realizing and understanding that you're doing this for a bigger reason than just slipping into skinny pants. You've got to find that bigger reason. You're going to find out how much your life will gain and how many others will gain from you changing your life by doing this. We don't realize that if we give ourselves our better selves, that everyone else gets our best selves too.
This podcast is not meant to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure any medical or mental health condition. Please check with your healthcare professional before making changes to your diet or exercise program.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to the podcast. I am stoked to have today's guest on, Helen Costa-Giles. And why am I stoked? Because this is someone I look up to a ton, and she's just this down-to-earth, real human that's done amazing things. I was watching her through her weight loss journey, watching her in Insta stories, and I remember I would just watch, and I would see that, you know, she was making great choices, but on occasion, she would have things like pizza or burgers, and then she'd go back to eating clean and eating healthy. And she made me realize that, hey, maybe I could achieve my weight loss goals. And finding this balance thing that didn't have to be like all hard and grind all the time, no fun ever. And she's done a beautiful job of working this balance. So Helen has gone through her own weight loss journey. She is a mama of two boys. She is a soon-to-be corporate dropout to be working on her own. And she is a no more excuses lifestyle mentor. So welcome to the podcast, Helen.
Thanks, Amber.
Oh, we're so glad to have you on. Okay, so Helen, I told you we're going to start out with a rapid fire. So let's hear some of the answers to these questions. So first off, where are you from? And you can follow that before do you live now?
Well, I'm Canadian. So I'm actually from Cambridge, Ontario, and I moved to San Antonio, Texas 11 years ago.
Holy. All right, totally different direction now. Do you ever get food cravings? And if so, how do you handle them?
I don't know if I would call them cravings. Like I don't, not like when I was pregnant cravings, but I do love my sweets, right? And so when I do handle them is I'm very smart about them. Instead of eating, you know, a whole bar of chocolate, because that's usually my same thing, I'll grab a nice delight or, you know, something a little bit more simple that just satisfies me. And I think for me, it's more mental. So sometimes I'll give into that tiny little morsel and then I'll move on.
Do you call food treat meals, cheat meals, or any variation of that?
I call them food experiences.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, I think what I don't like to use the word cheat because it feels like you're doing something bad. And as far as I'm concerned, we need balance, right? And everyone needs to experience. Like if I go, like I was just in Boston, right? And I wanted to have like a bunch of chowder. So I had chowder almost, and I had chowder like 2 days in a row. And that was just an experience for me because I'm in Boston, it's chowder, you know, I'm going to do it. And so if it's not an experience, then probably it's not worth it.
Right? So how do these food experiences fit into your regular food planning?
It all depends. If I know I'm going to be going out to eat with people and things like that, I always make sure I always adjust my husband and I still meal prep, you know, almost 5 years in. And I'll say, okay, well, I'm doing dinner with the girls here. And then I won't make a meal for that. But I'm also very smart. Like if we're going to a restaurant, if I'm going somewhere, I will Google that menu and I'll look and make my decision before I get there. Because I know if I show up and make the decision there, chances are it's going to be the cheesy nachos. And, you know, it's just going to not be the choice I should have made in the first place because I'm not allowing myself to think about what I really want to do. And I'll tell you, looking at the menu ahead of time saves me time when I'm there to, you know, socialize instead of staring at the menu. And it allows me to hit towards something that's not going to make me feel like crap when I'm done eating.
Mm. Who's been the most influential person in your health and wellness journey?
It would be definitely Carol Elizabeth.
Really briefly, how come?
She is the one who got me started through my journey. My best friend actually introduced me to her, and she was the one woman who basically made me believe that I could do this.
We all need those people.
Yeah.
Well, I love that. Would you say you're an intuitive eater or you eat on a food plan?
I usually eat on a food plan.
Okay. Do you weigh yourself? And if so, how often?
I don't remember the last time I weighed myself, probably a couple of weeks ago. And that's only because I had other people weighing themselves at my house and I thought I'd jump on.
All right. So it's not that often.
No, no.
What's your favorite workout?
I love doing HIIT workouts. So that's what I usually do during the week is I just do a HIIT workout. I like to bounce around, jump around. I don't like to sit on a bench with weights. It's not my thing anymore.
What's your favorite way to engage in self-care?
I think lately it's been a lot more quiet time. For somebody who's as busy as me, I think there's sometimes I lack the quiet time and sleep. And that's my self-care changes a lot depending on my environment and the energies around me. And recently it's, you know, meditation, quiet time, and getting sleep.
Okay. I love that. And you are definitely, if I think of someone who's bouncy and busy, you come top of mind. So I love hearing about that quiet time. What do you think of when you hear the words self-love?
Oh man, this is a good one. So for me, self-love is being proud of the things you do and to be able to stare at yourself in the mirror without a negative thought. And I know that's more of a physical thing. But I think I had women do a project with me and I said, I dare you this week, every morning for 3 minutes, stare in the mirror for yourself and smile and keep staring until every negative thought goes away and start to see the beauty and, you know, the creases in your eyes and the smile and how sore your cheeks are. And, you know, and you think it's ridiculous, you're doing that, but we don't ever stop and stare at ourselves ever. Like we never look into our own eyes. And I think for me, it's to be able to do that in a positive light. Is what I think self-love is.
All right. Next question. How often do you work out?
Recently, I've only been working out 3 to 4 times a week.
3 to 4 times a week. Okay. And what is one tip that has been key to your body weight management?
I think for me is being realistic with what your fitness goals are. And if you don't have fitness goals, being realistic with your health goals. So I took the year off of races, so I wasn't training hard for anything. And I did that on purpose because I wanted to free some time up to do other things I had in my life as far as goals. But I had to learn the balance between I wanted to keep my health the way it was and what I needed to do at minimum on some days for fitness just to keep me where I'm at. So for me right now, it's 3 to 4 days a week. And that keeps me energized and happy. And there's some days I go 5 because I need the extra stress relief. But I use fitness really just for more of a mental and physical well-being and not necessarily like before I was using it to really hardcore train to do a race or if I was prepping for a photo shoot or something like that. I strictly are using just the fitness for just overall well-being right now.
Well, thank you, Helen. And that is the end of the rapid fire. So you have, I appreciate all those answers, and I'm sure some of that information might circle back into some of your story, but you have an incredible weight loss transformation, weight loss journey. And if you could share just briefly some of where you started and then how much weight you've lost and where you are now, that would be so helpful.
Sure. Well, so I started my journey about, it was almost 5 years ago, maybe just 4.7737 years ago. I know what I'd say.
That 0.73 is very important.
Extremely. And the reason why I started was it's funny because even this weekend I did an event and I said, hi, my name is Helen and I'm a recovering yo-yo dieter. So I love that we're speaking, right? Because I spent a decade in that yo-yo. And but what was the difference 4.73 years ago was, you know, I had some medical issues. I headed down a road of chronic health issues. And even though in that decade of yo-yo dieting, I still had semi-okay health. So nothing really stuck, like I would go up and down. And so this time I had to take it more serious because I have 2 little boys at home. And the chronic issues that I had were not hereditary. They were strictly food-related diseases. And because I realized that they were food-related diseases, I knew I had to make a change in that area. And so along with that, I found an amazing woman who helped me, you know, talk about clean eating. I was introduced to Isagenics at the time with my best friend and I decided it was time for me just to do something that was clean, right? And so I did it. What I found was easier for me at the time is I did it with people. You know, I had a couple of friends who did it with me and, you know, my bestie, my husband. And I decided at the time when I started, it was not to work out.
And I didn't work out for my first 6 months of my journey because I'm one of those people who go all in. And if I can't be perfect at everything I went all in on, then I would just fail. And I think that's why I had such struggles all the time, because I could never find the balance of being healthy and living life the way I wanted to. So being the tired, exhausted mom I was, making the change for me was about my future and my kids' future. Because right now, my kids' future at that time when I started was sitting on the couch, watching a movie, eating a bag of potato chips, not doing anything that needed any energy because mommy didn't have it. So all I kept thinking about was, how many more years can I do this before my kids have a chronic health issue by the time they're 10? Mm. And so it was a huge wake-up call for me. So I was very motivated. And I don't really think motivation's a thing, to be honest, but it motivated me to start. Consistency is what people mistaken from motivation, right? People always ask, what gets you motivated? I said, I'm not motivated. I'm just very consistent in my goal. And so anyways, through that, my husband released 65 pounds. I released 90. I no longer sit on the couch watching movies with my kids. We'd rather be out hiking and running around and just doing crazy things in the house. So it was a huge thing for me. And when most people ask me how I did it, I said, I focused on two things. I focused on nutrition. One thing I didn't pay enough attention to before, I was mostly interested in deprivation before because I had that diet mentality. So I focused on nutrition. I undieted my life. And then mindset. I had to fix the relationship I had with my food, and I had to fix the relationship I had with myself. So that's kind of what I worked on through my journey. So here I am, 4.73 years later, you know, more active than I've been my entire life, the healthiest I've ever been in my entire life. And you know, now I kind of get to pay it forward, which is something I absolutely love doing. So once my husband and I kind of had our own success, and, you know, we both made a very conscious decision not to talk to the kids about, you know, being overweight and sick and things like that. Instead, we just talked about our journey as, you know, gaining lean muscle and energy. You know, when we talk to our kids about making healthy choices, we talk about sugar and we talk about the effects of sugar on the teeth because my kids hate the dentist. So that worked out brilliant. And then now I just get to do things like watch my kids, you know, like last night I came home after being away for, you know, a few days, and my one kid's like, hey mom, do you want to go work out with me in the garage before bed? Like, aww. Those are the things that are just, you know what I mean? Like, they get it. And it was only because they watched us. It's not because we preached at them. We just taught them by example. And it just, it's amazing for them. It's amazing for us to see how we change the trajectory of their lives by just making a very significant change in ours, by really doing, you know, self-care for me is also, you know, eating right, exercising, loving on people. And I think that's what my boys started to see a lot of.
Oh my gosh. And your boys are so cute. And I think, you know, I do see you post about your boys on social media and the things that they're doing and being part of your workouts. And it really does sound like you changed the trajectory of their lives by changing the trajectory of your own. And you and your husband have accomplished so much, not by changing your nutrition, changing your lifestyle. And as a result, you both had huge weight losses, 90, 65 pounds. That's a huge accomplishment. It takes a lot of work and a lot of dedication.
Yeah.
And so I know that big things for you. I mean, you're the No More Excuses lifestyle mentor, but can you help us understand a little bit about why that notion of no more excuses has been so pivotal to your success and your journey?
I think it's because it was my self-realization on what I was doing. And the more conversations I was having through people through my journey, I started to realize it's what everyone else was doing. Mm-hmm. So for me, it was, you know, like I'd said earlier, like for me, it was, you know, fixing my relationship with myself and food. And a lot of the relationship with myself was just, I was literally giving myself excuses. I wasn't even telling them to people. I was just constantly giving myself the excuse why I couldn't do things, why I couldn't get up and go for a walk, why eating healthy was, you know, in my mind, I thought was expensive, and why I didn't have time to cook. And it was just, I kept trying to justify to myself why I couldn't be better. Mm-hmm. And I think that for me is kind of what kicked off this whole like persona I got when I started my journey, because I created this woman called No More Excuses for This Mama little after I started, because I realized that there was a part of me that I knew was like everybody else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think you're so right. And it's easy to have some of those excuses about that it's expensive, or I don't want to cook, I don't have time. Like, those are things that really can show up, especially in a busy life.
Yeah.
And I know you talk about mindset as being really important. How important is that mindset when it also comes to losing weight compared to exercise, compared to nutrition?
Oh, it's everything. It really is everything. And, you know, it's frustrating sometimes for me when people come up and they're like, hey, what workout did you do to do that? And what's this? And I'm like, you know, it's, don't ask me about my workouts. It's so much more, you know? But I think with the mindset part, it was, is learning why you do the things you do, right? Mm-hmm. Which is why things like journaling is so important. And, you know, we live this life of autopilot, and that includes our mind, not just our actions, right? We think the same thing over and over again. That's exactly what's going to show up in your life, right? If I continued to think that I would never lose my weight, I would still be here 220 pounds, right? Yeah. But I had to truly believe, right, and see myself with success. Mm-hmm. And as hard as it was some days, I still had to see myself in that success, you know, stare at myself in the mirror and saying, okay, that third chin's going to be gone one day. Don't worry about it. We got it. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And just to be able to see that. But I think for a lot of people where we struggle is that we just can never see it in ourselves.
Yeah, I hear that. So can we talk about some of the excuses that you had and then a little bit of how you overcame each excuse?
Yeah. Okay. Time is my biggest. I think time is my biggest excuse. A full-time job. I have two kids. I have what I call as a driveway marriage because my husband works opposite shifts from me. I was a big volunteer in my community. So you name it, I was doing it. I had a home business where I was making these custom t-shirts. So I was on all the time for everybody else. And so I was like, where am I going to have time for myself? Like, where is this going to fit in? And a few things what I did is, number one, when it came to food prep and meal, I got the family involved, right? I got my husband involved, and we decided that Sundays wasn't going to be lazy day, or, you know, the day to go shopping and spend money we might need to be. Sundays were going to be a day where we sat in the kitchen and we made food. Ooh. And we wrote the plans together, and, you know, we asked my boys what they wanted to eat and, you know, things like that. And my husband and I got to collaborate on food. And, you know, it's beautiful because here we are 4.73 years later, and he's actually the one who does all the food prep now. So the kind of tables are turned. But we got them involved, and I think that was a big thing. When I did put the fitness piece in, because like I said, I didn't put the fitness piece in until 6 months later, I started to get up at crazy hours of the morning because I knew that my day wasn't going to change. I still have two little boys. You know, I still, you know, my husband still had to work nights. I still had to do all this stuff. And I said, where am I going to find the time for me? And so I decided to get up an hour and a half earlier and start working out in my garage at 4 a.m. And that, as crazy it sounds for people, it's what it did it for me. You know, some people might, their 1 hour early might be 5 a.m., whatever it is for them. But for me, it was 4 a.m. And that's how I got that excuse. And I just added extra hours to my day.
Wow. So not only was it like time was the excuse, like I don't have time, but you changed the way you were living. You said, okay, Sundays aren't lazy day. We're going to plan in that this is going to be food. So it sounds like priority changing, scheduling it in. And then we said, fitness came along 6 months later, you decided you were going to do something different. So it wasn't necessarily you magically got more time. You reprioritized your time and what you were doing in it. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Holy. Okay. What's another excuse that you had to work through, do you think?
I think it was support. Mm. Not having the right people in my life to help me, because I'm all about community. I love creating community. Mm-hmm. But I found that I was always surrounding myself around with people who didn't want more in their life. Mm-hmm. And so I always felt defeated, or I just felt like I was settling for the environment and the life I was in, right? And my husband was the same. He was hung around the same people. And nothing wrong with, you know, the people I hung out with. It just, they weren't in the space that I wanted to be. And I wanted to be successful in my health, and most of them really didn't, right? Mm-hmm. And so I had to seek and find people to surround myself with, right? Instead of me saying, oh, I don't have the support. I don't know anybody. I went and found them. I found amazing friends online. I started to reach out to my community and really find the people who are driven. And, you know, that's kind of where I started my, that No More Excuses Rising grind. I started to do at 4 a.m. because I started to reach out for people and try to find people who had common interest with me. Cause that was such an excuse for me. Cause I'm like, oh, well, I got no one to go to the gym with. I got no one who will go for a walk with me. I got no one who will do this. Right. Mm-hmm. And instead of me saying that, I'm like, you know what? I want to go find those people. you know, right. Just like, you know what I mean? And I did, man, I found a lot of people. Yeah.
Yeah. That's just an excuse I relate to too. And sorry, I totally cut you off. You're saying you found a lot of people. Keep going with that.
No, I just say found a lot of people who wanted what I wanted and more, and that made it more exciting for me. Right. It's just to be around people, you know, and they wanted the same thing. You know, they were searching for the same thing. It's that whole thing we call tribe and community, whatever you want to call it. You know, your life is a product of your environment. Mm-hmm. And I think the people who the top five people you surround yourself with is who you become.
Right.
And so I started to find the people who wanted it, and it made it easy for me to stay accountable, because I was always excited to have these conversations, and I wasn't like beaten up by, you know, the woes of life.
Yeah. And I totally relate to that. Like having to go out and find tribe and find like-minded friends and find people that you think are like-minded, and you find out actually they have totally different goals, or, you know, it's really a journey and a process to find those people, but it's really easy to get into. Well, just nobody wants to do this. Nobody has these same goals. I can't do it. Everybody's on a different path, but there's millions and millions of people who really want this exact same thing. And it's that intentional practice of going out and finding those people.
Yeah.
And now you seem like you've got all kinds of support and all kinds of community. That's awesome. Let's talk for a second about walking to the pantry at night because you need a night snack. Has that ever been an excuse? Like, I need the snack before bed. Ever had one like that?
Yeah. Let's talk about the pantry. So one of my relationships with food was I would visit my pantry almost at 3 a.m. every single night. And I knew it was wrong because I'd even close the door in case somebody woke up and walked to the kitchen, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't mean like a little snack. Like I make a full-on Nutella sandwich, peanut butter sandwich, you know, because the bread, everything, I just grab a little knife and sit in the pantry and make it, eat it, right? Mm-hmm. And in my mind, I just kept thinking I needed it, right? And what happened was I didn't need it. It just became habit. It just became a behavior that I couldn't get rid of because I just kept doing it. And I seriously believed that I needed a snack in the middle of the night. It was weird. Mm-hmm. And I did this for years. And that was the hardest habit I had to break. And I still catch myself in the pantry staring, right? And to be honest, we're really good. Our pantry is actually not bad. Like we set up our pantry to meet our goals. So we don't have I don't have Nutella in my pantry anymore. And, you know, we have the right kind of peanut butter. But what happened was I started to recognize the behavior. And as silly as it sounds, I started to like kick my own butt and do some self-talk in there. I had, you know, pictures and affirmations everywhere I went. And it just became hard. So I would still go in the pantry and I would have this long fight with myself about why I shouldn't do it, but why I needed it. But it's only a bite. It's only half a sandwich. Tomorrow you'll be good. You know, that constant battle over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. And most of the time I walked away winning. Mm-hmm. Most of the time I walked away winning. I would say, you know, 97% of the time I walk away winning. But what I started to find out is that the arguments got shorter in my head and I walked out of my pantry a lot faster. And it was just because I was reprogramming my brain, right? And the only way you can do that is if you just keep getting to the self-realization. I kept talking to myself out of it. So I still go in my pantry to this day, you know, 4.73 years later, I will still walk in there. You know, I don't ever ignore my pantry. I come and say, hey, how's it going? I'm like, you know, I don't feel like any Cheez-Its or whatever the thing is in there, and I walk away, right?
Yeah.
But it is easy to get back in that habit. You know, there was a couple of times in my journey where I slipped back in and all of a sudden I'm like, man, I've been in my pantry every night for a week. Holy smokes. Mm-hmm. And I start to feel it in my body. And then I start to feel, I'm like, you know, those old habits are hard to break and they're always going to be there. It's just what changes in you is that conversation you have in your head while you're in that moment.
Right. Can you give us a snapshot into some of the things that like the food says, like, or your mind in the negative will say like, oh, come on, it's just a bite, or just half doesn't matter. What's some of the self-talk that you use to have the other side of that conversation, the kind that gets you out of the pantry or to not have the bite or only just have a bite? What's the helpful self-talk you have going on in there?
There's a couple. Okay. So for me, sometimes there are certain foods that actually make me feel really icky, but are delicious, mm-hmm. right? Dairy products, right? I'm like, you know, Helen, you can go eat those Cheez-Its or maybe like I talk about cheese. I like cheese is a weakness for me. I'd be like, I could eat that and I could be satisfied for 10 seconds. But what's going to happen to you an hour from now when you're around everybody and you're going to feel gassy and bloated and uncomfortable? Mm-hmm. Right. Is that what you want to feel? So there's that, right? There's that physical emotion that I know I get with certain foods. And then there's that mental part. And, you know, I still love to treat on food, but I also know when is a good time for me to do it, when it's not. And when it's not a good time for me, it's the difference between pride and disappointment, right? Once you know what pride feels like, when you really truly feel like when you're proud of yourself, like I always tell everybody and I tell myself, I'm like, if I do this, am I going to be proud of myself or am I going to be disappointed? And if the answer is disappointed, then just walk away because that's the worst feeling ever. I hate being disappointed in myself, right? Mm-hmm. I hate doing things I say I wouldn't do, but I did it anyways because robot Helen took over. Mm-hmm. So that's, for me, that's probably the biggest question anyone can ask yourself. If I do this, am I going to be proud or am I going to be disappointed?
And that is really powerful.
Yeah. If you answer disappointed, then your answer is so easy. You walk away. Mm-hmm. Right?
So I know it can be so easy. Like we're in those moments, we're on autopilot, we're in the pantry, we're in the fridge, we're at the store, we're driving across the city to go get that food that's calling us, whatever it might be, like whatever it is, that pattern that we're stuck in. And I think that's a great, very powerful question. Like, will I feel proud or will I feel disappointed? But let's go for a second into that autopilot. What thoughts do you have about like slowing down for yourself to gain some insight into these habits and change up the mindset around these, if not once and for all, but to really get started and to embark on that journey of changing these mental habits that we have?
It's checking in with yourself daily, on the daily, right? And it might be just as simple as, you know, sitting down with yourself for 3 minutes a night and just saying, what do I got to do tomorrow, right? What did I do today? What did I do right today? You know, what was I proud about today? What was I disappointed about today? And it's, you will only get out of autopilot is when you pull yourself out and have discussions about the day, right? When you don't start to learn about what you do, you're never going to fix it, right? So if you're constantly finding that you're always going to a fast food restaurant every day at lunch, right? And you always feel like crap and you never change that, nothing will ever change. Mm-hmm. But if you start to take note, okay, you know what? By Thursday, I'm always feeling like crap. Maybe if I didn't stop, I won't eat till I'll prepare this time. Or, you know, I'm so busy. Sometimes my meals are, if they're either like a meal replacement shake or a bar, I always have bars and snacks in my purse all the time. Because I'll be honest, no matter how great I am at planning my day, I don't know, 67% of the time it goes away, right? And I know I have something in there. But it's a matter of checking in with yourself and being a little bit more prepared. Like you don't have to be hardcore prepared. Like when I first started, I was hardcore prepared. I mean, I had every meal, everything measured out. And that's not the reality for most people, right? Mm-hmm. For them, it's just a matter of saying, okay, I know I have a busy day tomorrow. You know, what can I do to avoid my normal habits? Mm-hmm. Right? If it's just a matter of having a snack or pack a lunch, whatever it is for that person, right? Is to prepare yourself either the evening before or even on a Sunday. Prepare your week. I have to prepare myself on a daily basis. If I prepare myself on a Sunday, by Tuesday, I forgot what my plan was. Mm-hmm. So it's just checking in with yourself physically, mentally, you know, time-wise is huge, you know, especially for people who have kids like I do, and you've got sports and work and whatever. The excuse I always hear is, oh, but my kids are always doing this. And I always got, and then all of a sudden it's like, well, you're talking about what everybody else needs from you. When do you give what you need? Mm-hmm. Right. And it's just planning that in.
Mm-hmm. And I think whether kids or not kids, it's so key. We can often focus on all of the demands and all things everybody else needs.
Yeah.
We don't take care of ourselves.
Yep.
And it's so important that slow down. I love how you said the check-in, what's going well, what's not going well, and doing some problem solving around the things not going well. Like we have some power to change, but we have to first figure out like, what is the problem? What is the barrier, and trying out some possible solutions. It doesn't mean our solution is going to work right the first time, but not just giving up.
Yeah. And I think that's, and what you just said there too is huge is, you know, I'm sometimes kind of anal and ego in how I do things, and someone might tell me to do something one way and I'll be like, oh, that doesn't sound right. Right. Mm-hmm. Immediately I dismiss it without even trying sometimes. And then at some point I'll give it, I'm like, you know what, I'll give it 3 weeks and I'm going to do it even though I don't think it's going to work. And I'm usually surprised. Right. But it's just a matter of, you know, putting the ego aside sometimes and trying something you haven't tried before. Yeah. Right. Even if it sounds out of whack, because trust me, I've done things and I'm like, this makes no sense. And I'm like, oh, it makes complete sense now. Yeah. And it didn't make sense to me because I've never tried it. So, you know, I judged it and I shouldn't have. So. Yeah.
Well, Helen, thank you so much for your time going through so many of these excuses, whether it's time or it's meal prepping or it's the pantry. you know, you've really helped us look at a few different things and taught us a little bit about slowing down and priorities. And you're just a glowing example of what can happen when you make a decision to change your life. I mean, it probably was easy to say, oh my gosh, I can't change. But here you are, having lost over 90 pounds and changing your life. Your kids are different. Your husband has also joined you in this journey. Here you are inspiring others. So I so appreciate every moment that you've had. And the listener, hopefully you don't know this when you're listening, but we had all sorts of technological issues. So we are so blessed to have Helen bear with us and be on this call the whole time. So before we wrap up, Helen, is there any other one thing that I haven't asked you about that maybe you think is really important that our listeners should know?
I think it's learning to have grace in your journey. I think a lot of people give up because they feel like they didn't do something the way they should have done it. And to understand that, you know, no one ever rocks any journey out of the gate ever. And just having that grace with yourself and just realizing and understanding that you're doing this for a bigger reason than just slipping into skinny pants. You know, you got to find that bigger reason. You got to find out how much your life will gain and how many others will gain from you changing your life by doing this. You know, we do so much for others. But we don't realize that if we give ourselves our better selves, that everyone else gets our best selves too, right?
You're so right about that. So much bigger than skinny jeans. I mean, it's nice to fit in those clothes again, but so much more, and so does everybody else.
Yeah, exactly.
So if people want to follow you, find you, they want to know more about this No More Excuses Lifestyle Mentor, or just see what you're up to learn some of the tips and tricks and strategies you've got up your sleeve, what's the best place that they can get eyes on you?
They can definitely follow me on Instagram or go out, check my website. Actually, my Instagram is my link to all my stuff too. But my website is enemylifestyle.com. So enemy means No More Excuses Lifestyle, not like your enemy. You can follow me there. And then on H. Costa Giles on Instagram.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Helen, and especially for bearing with all the technology stuff and being such an inspiration to us all. I so appreciate you.
That's awesome, girl. I had a great time and I'm so excited for you.
Thank you so much for tuning in. This podcast was made because of your questions. So please help me get it out there by leaving a rating and review. Until next time, remember, you've got this, and stay consistent.